All right. So this morning, I want to talk to you about testimonies. It's a big thing for me. If you were at Monday night at my house the other Monday night, I'm all about testimonies because they're the way we break through with people. It's good that we have testimonies in here. It's good that we share with each other because a couple of reasons. One, I get reloaded because I'll tell your stories outside because my story may not fit just everybody. So I'll tell your story. I don't put your name to it. I changed the name to protect the innocent. But yeah, I don't mind telling your stories, but testimonies are so powerful. And so the last couple of weeks, I've been doing a lot of studying on testimonies and in the Old Testament. And I got to tell y'all something. I learned a bunch. Testimonies are powerful. We'll get into it in the New Testament too, but in Psalm 71, 15 and 16, one second. There's going to be a lot of scriptures. It's not going to be a ton, but they're important scriptures. So Psalm 71, 15 through 16 says, my mouth shall show forth my righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go into the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. And so what he's saying is that I'm going to tell everything I know about you. I may not know every God. I'm going to tell everything I know about you. I may not know everything about you, but I'm going to tell what I know and what I'm confident of, because in that confidence, through that testimony, it's going to give somebody else strength. Right? And so that's in Psalms. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. So what he said was, I'm not going to brag on me, but I'm going to brag on God in me and what God's done in me. That's so important, because it would be so easy to go out and talk about all the things that we've done and we've accomplished and all the things we have and forget to say, it was God. It was God. We could take credit for it all right now. You know, we've all had some really blessed things happen in our lives in the last 50 years, in the last 8 years, in the last 8 hours. We've got things we can talk about all day, people we meet, people we run into. So, make sure. I don't want to get out of sequence of how many pages I wrote, and I don't want to overtalk y'all, but I can. So what I said here is I am all about testimonies. I mean, I am. I think that's the most important way to break into somebody else's life, because chances are, whatever story you hear somebody tell, we've got one or we know somebody that had one that went down that road, but it was different. It ended differently. So I was talking earlier today in our prayer time that I met a lady on Thursday that is opening a new restaurant. I got to spend some time with her, and I learned some things about her. About 10 years ago, she lost a child. And it was a full term, and she had the baby, and it was stillborn. And so all the things that she was told about that baby, God needed another rose in the garden, God needed another angel, it just wasn't God's will for you to have that baby, it wasn't time for you. All those things that she was told by probably a well-meaning Christian person trying to carry her over, trying to make her feel better. But it made her mad at God. Why would God need another rose in the garden when I needed that rose? Why would God let me carry it full term if it wasn't his will for me to have it anyway? Why? And so then, from that anger, she turned to drugs, and then she got into prison. It was a long, long story. Now she's opening a restaurant, but she still has that, I hope it's God's will that I succeed in this restaurant. So, you know, my 30-minute business time with her turned into a two-hour preaching and praying time to get her over those things, to plant that seed, to start moving her forward, moving her out of that. You know, somebody, so as Pastor said the other day, I planted. Somebody else is going to have to water that. you know, and I'm going to be around because I'm doing business with her now. So I can always go in and you know, continue the story and keep moving. But there are so many people out there that are hurting so badly because they have been told something about God that's not even close to the truth. Because the person that told them, they're in church, but they don't know who God is. They have no idea. And it's because the person that told them didn't know. And the person that told them didn't know. And it's just, it's snowballed. You know, I tell a story all the time about a young couple that they get married, and every Sunday the woman makes a pot roast. And so he watches her, and she cuts the end off the roast every time and puts it in the pan. Y'all know the story. And why you do that? Well, Mama did it. You call Mama, why'd you do it? Well, Mama did it. Well, call Mama, why'd you do it? Because my pan was only that big. You know, so these traditions happen, these sacred cows, as Curry Blake calls them, they happen because we allow them to happen. It's easier to repeat a story than to go find out for yourself, right? And so the thing I like about us is that we look, we search, we find, we want to know. We're not just taking it for granted. And if you're listening to anything I say, or Melissa, or Barry, or Pastor, or Deborah Ann, and don't look it up for yourself, you're cheating yourself. Two reasons. One, you look it up, and it affirms what they said. And it gives you the confidence that the next thing they say is going to be powerful. The second thing is if there's a mistake, if it's wrong, it's time to go to them and say, hey, I found this, and here's what it looks like. So go to me, or Melissa, or Barry, or Pastor, or Deborah Ann, go to whoever, and say, this is what you said, but here's what I read. Help me understand. And we get it out and get it cleared up, one way or the other. It's like I told somebody the other day, I like being right. I don't want to, it's not about being right. It's just that I can't afford to tell somebody wrong. But if you've got a word that contradicts mine and it's the truth, I want to know it because I only want to tell the truth. I only want to be out there with the truth, right? So in my opinion, the most effective way to share Jesus with somebody is you got to get involved with their life. You can't just go beat somebody over the head and say, you're going to hell. Well, I promise you, they'll figure it out on their own if you tell them the truth. They'll do an evaluation of themselves. You know, when we were talking about planting the seed and watering, it wasn't about going and saying, you're going to go to hell, and the next guy that comes along is going to say, you're going to hell, but I'm going to water you a little bit so it don't sting so bad. That's not it. It's that we tell them the truth about who the Lord is. And if we tell them what he did in our life first, they listen. Or if they're telling us a story about they've lost everything they had, then we tell them a story of somebody else we know that overcame that. We don't have to tell them our story. It doesn't have to be Lynn's story. It could be Pam's story I tell. And I'll change the name to protect the innocent once again. But it's just to make sure that we can put a foot in there, because people like a lot of things. The first thing they like is they like to hear their name pronounced correctly. And they like to see it spelled correctly. But then the other thing they want to know is, did you hear what I said? Because there's so many out there, so many of us, me being one of them sometimes, that I'm just waiting on you to take a breath so I can jump in. I may not have heard a word you said, but I'm going to tell you what I was thinking. That's wrong. So when you have somebody like this lady I met this week that's telling me her story, that was her testimony, y'all. But sometimes testimonies are told to build people up. Sometimes people give you their testimony to tell you how bad they're hurting. Right? But here's the problem. Is the more they tell that story, the deeper it gets. The deeper it gets, and the more locked in it gets with them. That's why it's so important that they hear a story that has victory at the end of it, right? There has to be victory at the end, because she's been telling herself that 10-year defeated story, and it's not getting any better, to the point she's about to open another business, and she says, if God took that away from me, is he going to take this away? Well, why would you even start? What would possess you to even get in that? So that's our job. It could be somebody that's sick, their finances are collapsed, their family's collapsed, their mother died, their daddy died, whatever. We all know somebody that's had a testimony that has a victory at the end of it that has to do with that. So that's our job, to share it. And it's like my mom. my mom, I've told y'all before, she had major heart problems and vascular problems. It was just not good. Prayed over her, and they took her back, brought her right back, and said, she's got the heart of a five-year-old. Well, what was the bonus on that? Well, the whole reason she went in was to get ready to go have brain surgery because she had a tumor in her brain. And the bonus of her being healed from her heart issues was that when they went to map her brain to take the tumor out, the tumor wasn't there anymore. So what a testimony that is. So my mother who tends not to be the most positive human in America, she tells that testimony all the time. Wow. All the time. Now that's been 9 years ago. And she still tells it. Because it's important that other people hear that God works. And he has worked. But here's the thing. Are we telling people that God can heal them? We don't need to be telling them God can heal them. We need to be telling them that God has healed them. That 2,000 years ago, that the scripture says that by his stripes, we are healed. So now what we're doing, we got to make sure that the story we're telling them is a story that we tell ourselves, that we tell in this room. That you're already healed. It's already been done for you. Accept it. It's time for you to receive it. They don't understand that. You know why? They've never heard that before. They've never heard it. So you better be ready to pull a scripture out somewhere and show it to them because they don't believe it. They absolutely don't believe it. So in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 43:26, give me a second. I normally mark all my scriptures, and today I didn't. I thought I'd be a flipper today. Isaiah 43:26, it says, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. What God was saying there, he wasn't saying, you know, don't forget me. What he was saying there is that remember what I've done. Remember that it's already been done. Remember the things and say it out loud. Say the things I've done. Speak them out. Because by speaking them out, they happen. In Hebrew, their word for testimony is spelled E-W-D-U-T, but it's pronounced Edut. E-W-D-U-T, it's pronounced Aduth, it's pronounced A-Y-D-O-O-T-H. And the English translation of that is basically, do it again with the same power and authority. Just do it again with the same power and authority. So when we're giving our testimonies, what we're saying is, if God's done it once, he can do it again, and that we expect it. So now we're talking about walking in expectation. That's who we're supposed to be. I think, you know, it's like Melissa said a while ago about the bird. So the bird made the mistake of going and giving a testimony to his other bird friends. And so they believed him and they came and cleaned out the feeder. I mean, but that's us. That's us. Until we give our testimony and people can see our lives and see it in our lives. Because I got to tell you, if somebody don't know where you came from, your testimony about where you are means nothing. Because they can say, well, you know, you came from a good family and y'all had this and y'all had that and you were going to have anyway. It doesn't work that way, y'all. Until they know where you came from, where you are is irrelevant to them. Totally irrelevant. So in the Messianic community, in the Messianic Jews that believe in Jesus, and they believe that by testimony, other people get healed. Okay, I'll go along with that if you tell the whole testimony. But here's what they do. If there's somebody in their church that's sick with cancer, then they'll go find somebody else in their church that was healed of that cancer. And every day, that person goes to the other person's house and testifies again of what God did for them. Doesn't preach over them, doesn't read scripture to them, doesn't pray for them. They testify. They give that testimony every day, every day. Because here's the thing. The way they put it, and all that I read over the last couple of weeks, is the Jews and the Messianic Christians, they don't live in a linear calendar like we do. That, you know, in some ways they have to, because, you know, you get on a plane tomorrow, it can't be the plane you got on last Thursday. But they look at things in a cyclical manner. They believe if it happened once, that it'll happen again. So they live in these seven-year cycles. And that's why all their feasts are. And then at the end of 7 years, day 50, or the year 50 is the Jubilee year, right? So everything's kind of cleared off and started over. But here's what they think. They think that if I testify enough about what God did for me to heal me, that through that, because he did it for me, he'll do it for that one. And it's convincing that other person that because it was done for me, that it's going to happen for them. Not it could, not that it might, but that it will. And so that's the way they do it. They go to them and they testify. They give the same testimony every day, every day, every day. There would come a point I'd say, hey, I got it. But yeah, that's what they do. And it's important to them. So let's see. So like I said, they believe that what God did yesterday has the same power to be done over again today. And that's the thing, it's the power of our testimony. And the power of our testimony isn't us. The power of our testimony is what God did in us, or Christ did in us, that can work through us. Isaiah 55:11. So Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Amen. So the promises of God are going to bring what God's promises are to fruition. They are what they are. You know, the scripture says that we need to believe who he is, and that he's a rewarder of those, right, that believe in him. So when he's saying that my promises are, that's the same thing. We believe in his promises. He said, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper into the thing whereunto I sent it. So he's saying that His word, when it comes to fruition, his word, when we speak it with authority, his word, when we put it where it belongs, is gonna cash in. It's gonna do exactly what it was sent to do. It's not gonna be, I hope it can. It's gonna be, it is. But where does that come from? That comes from our faith. So I was thinking about that a lot. So where did our faith come from? Well, it probably started out when we were kids from a parent or a grandparent or Bible school or somewhere is where the seed was planted, where we started hearing about God and believing in God and listening about God. And then we use a word like confession. So we have things like confession and profession. A lot of times can be used interchangeably. So the confession of our faith, our profession of our faith, we could use those interchangeably. But what is it? We're repeating what God said. So if I'm making a confession of my faith, I'm going to repeat what God said about me. I am the righteousness of God through the blood of Christ. I am a child of God. I am the temple of God. The Holy Spirit dwells in me. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. That's a confession. That's a testimony. That's a testimony of my faith. That's exactly who we're supposed to be. In John 6:63, we can flip over there. I guess I'm being a flipper today, and I apologize. John 6:63, it said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profit nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Well, what was he saying there? In my opinion, he's saying that his words are eternal. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made from the Word, right? So his words are eternal. So when he says that the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. In other words, those are eternal, and when I speak them, life comes from those words. So if we have a testimony of something that's been done to us, for us, through us, that has built us up, that has created a growth in us, a growth of spiritual growth, a growth of relationships, a growth in finances, a growth in whatever, then we need to look at that and say, then that was the word that was spoken about us. When was it spoken about us? Well, the scripture in Psalm said that all our blessings were written in a book before the beginning of time in our name. So God spoke it about us way back when, like day before yesterday and even before that. So those were things that were said about us that were designed for us to have. It wasn't just something that we made up or something that, it wasn't our wish list. You know, it's a difference between having, you know, and Pastor talks about it, and I threaten to do it all the time, is to have a dream book. I have got to do that. I always think about it until I leave here, then I quit thinking about it. Because I crank the car and something happens, and I just don't. But a dream book, not a wish book, a dream book. And the difference being, a wish book is something that you say, boy, I hope I can have that. A dream book says, I'm having it. This is going to be mine. It could be a lot of things for your family, for yourself, for your community, for your church. It could be a lot of things. But, you know, that's what we're talking about here. So sometimes the testimony we give is we're giving it to ourselves. We have to speak it out loud so we can hear it. Charles Capp says that because we have an inner ear and an outer ear, that it's important that we hear ourselves. Because the first person that hears anything we say is us. We hear our own voice. So if you're not speaking the scripture over yourself, if you're not reading the scripture, I tell y'all, when I read at home, I read scripture out loud. I'm by myself. It doesn't annoy anybody but me. But I read it out loud. Why? Because when you hear it, you know, faith comes by hearing. It didn't say where you heard it from. Faith comes by hearing. It could be you reading to yourself. It could be listening to a tape. It could be watching a CD. It could be listening to, or a DVD. It could be listening to pastor or any one of us that gives a testimony. That's where our faith comes from. And so we've got to be able to hear it. So in confession too, if in a court of law, when they read the charges, if someone confesses to it, then they're agreeing to those charges. They're confessing the same thing. They're saying, yes, that's correct, I did that. Well, confession works the other way. Confession works in the way that if you read in the scripture that says, you know, by his stripes you are healed, then you need to confess that for you. That's a confession. That's a confession that brings healing to your body. A non-confession would be, well, that's what it said about Jesus, but what about me? Why am I not healed? Why is my back still sore? Why are my legs still weak? Why do I still hurt? Well, that's not a confession, that's a whine. The confession is just saying it. It's just saying it. We have to be willing to say it. So as we confess our faith and our testimony, we confess, report in agreement what happened to us. We're saying it out loud. What happened to us? So, you know, quite frankly, when I was healed of the trigeminal neuralgia, I was the only one that believed it. Literally. My family didn't believe it. My friends didn't believe it. The people that prayed over me didn't believe it. They didn't believe it. I poured 3 months worth of medicine down the drain that morning when I got home from church. And she asked me, she said, why'd you do that? I said, I'm healed. How do you know? I have faith. And that's where it ended. And that this Thanksgiving will be 10 years ago. That's a long time. But that's our confession. We either have to confess we believe it. We either have to confess that it is happening to us, that it did happen for us and we're receiving it, or we have to confess the other thing. I mean, that's the only two options. There are no other options.
That's right.
You know, sadly, I wish there was. So what does this all have to do with my testimony or your testimony? Well, it has everything to do with it. It has everything to do with it. If you were to go on a car lot today to buy a new car, and the guy came out dressed like a slob, smoking a cigarette, that had today's lunch running down his shirt, and he told you that this is the finest car made in America, chances are you wouldn't buy the car from him because he didn't look very reliable. Because if he was that proud of the quality of that car, he would dress like, act like that he was proud to sell that. So when you're giving your testimony to somebody, how do you act about it? What kind of enthusiasm do you have when you share your testimony? And if you're not sharing it with enthusiasm, it's hard to believe, y'all. It's absolutely hard to believe. You know, I have no qualms whatsoever telling people my whole story. It doesn't bother me a bit. Nothing to be ashamed of. But it changes people. Because the first thing they say is, no way. No way. That lady, she said to me, she said, well, ever since I got out of prison, my family has just treated me like I'm a second-class citizen. I said, how long have you been out of prison? She said, 10 years. I said, well, how do you look at you? She said, pretty much the same way. So once again, why are you starting a restaurant if you really believe that about yourself? So what she was trying to do, she was trying to compensate. She was trying to compensate in a worldly way for the way she felt about herself, the way other people had made her believe she felt. You know, and I'm not beating her up. I'm proud of her. I'm proud that she listened. I'm proud that she was able to receive a seed. I was proud of that. But that's the way it is for people, is they believe what they've been told they are, but they haven't listened to the only one that can tell them the truth. You know, the Lord told me who I am. I don't worry about what other people say about who they think I am. It's irrelevant, totally irrelevant. Only what the Lord says about me. So what do? I testify to myself about who the Lord says I am daily. We have to. The company of the committed that Pastor has given us, and I forget what the lady, he did one for the ladies, I forget what it's called. But y'all, that's important. That's important. There are days when, I gotta tell you, I'm a sales guy. There are days where every stop you make is just a train wreck. And you just pull over on the side of the road and I pull the thing out of my wallet and I read it out loud. You need to hear yourself say that of who you are in Christ. You need to say it out loud, who you are in Christ. Because you'll believe you. And you need to hear it out of your mouth. So that company of the committed is a very important piece of paper. It's something you need to read to yourself on a regular basis just to remind you. Just to remind you who you are. Because I got to tell you, you're loved. You're a child of the Most High. And if you tell yourself that and you believe it, then when you tell other people that's who they are, they believe it too. They believe it too. And I'll be honest with you, I told her that, and I made her repeat it out loud, that that's who she was. She needed to hear herself say that. I couldn't imagine going through life that long feeling that bad about myself, feeling that my God had abandoned me. How? How do you make it? How do you live when there's no hope? How do you live when the only hope you thought was out there did this to you? Well, he didn't. He didn't. And we get people over that hump, it changes their life. So I've had people tell me that, well, you know, Jesus told people when he healed them, don't go tell anybody. Keep it to yourself. And he did. He told them that. Let's see here. Luke 5, 13 through 14. And I think it's so funny that's the first argument people have about why they don't give their testimony. And I've had people say that to me. Well, I don't give my testimony because, you know, Jesus even told people not to give their testimony. Well, there was a reason for that at that time. You remember at the wedding at Canaan when he turned the water into wine, he told his mom, he said, look, my time's not come yet. He did it anyway. But the reason he said that was he didn't want what he was doing to be a sideshow. He wanted to be able to talk about the kingdom of God and about repentance and salvation. And if everything he had done had been about healing or turning water into wine or raising people from the dead, if everything had been about that early, they would have never listened to him about the future. It had all been a sideshow. He might as well have been a carnival barker. But in Luke 5:13-14, he said, and he put forth his hand. This is a guy that walked up to him and said, hey, look, I'm a leper. Will you heal me? And he said, if you will, you can make me clean. Well, it wasn't that the guy doubted that Jesus could. He said, but will you? So he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer thy cleansing according as Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Okay, so he sends this guy to the priest. So why did he not want the guy to tell anybody on the way? Well, if he started telling people and it got back to the priest before he got there, then the priest would say, you know, no, he wasn't really cleansed. He could have bluffed out of it, and it would have blown the testimony of it. He wanted him to get to the priest, so under the laws that they were living under at that time, the priest would say, he's clean, which then would have validated what Jesus did. But if he'd have gone and told everybody on the way, and priest got word of it, the priest would have said, oh, that Jesus guy? No, you're not clean. You're not clean at all. That was a mistake. And that's the same way people pull testimonies out of us. So we speak something. We speak something. We need a new house. We need a new car. We need finances to pay the rent. We need. And we claim it. And we claim it. We can speak it in here out loud to each other. And we'll be your greatest support. We'll be all up in it with you. We're gonna make sure that we're standing with you. We're standing alongside of you. But if you walk out there in the world and you tell your kids and grandkids and neighbors that the Lord's going to pay all my bills this month, they're going to talk you out of it. They're going to think you're a fool, which is the same thing that would have happened if this guy had gone and told everybody that Jesus healed him before he got to the priest. So by the time he got to the priest, it would have been, no, that wasn't Jesus. You thought you were healed, but you're not really healed. And it would have been taken away. That's what we do to ourselves, y'all. We go out there and we have something that we're planning that's working, and it doesn't go. I told y'all the other day, this account that I've been working on now since June, and every month there was another reason why it wasn't going. It was all legit. You know, the lady's mama fell and broke her femur. The guy that was going to sign all the paperwork walking his grandkid out to the car for his daughter, and he slipped on his driveway and fell backward and got a concussion. I mean, it's just... And then pastor one day, he said, well, have you claimed it? And I said, that's rude. But that's exactly what it was. And so I claimed it right then. I claimed it. And then the next morning, the lady calls and says, can we meet Thursday and get it done? And it happened. It happened that quick. But it's just because you get into this. So what happened to me is that every time it was supposed to happen, there was another thing hopped up. So every time they would schedule, what did my mind say? It doesn't matter if they schedule it or not, it's not going to happen. Every time they schedule it, something falls apart. And then pastor had to say, well, have you claimed it? That was mean. It was just ugly. But no, that's what it is. So let's look at Mark 7:36, the two blind men. Mark 7:36. Let's see. I'm going to back up just a little bit. I'm going to go to, Mark 31, I'm sorry about that, Barry. So Mark 31, it said, and again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came into the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them the much, the more a great deal they published it. And y'all, he just healed the guy that couldn't hear or speak and told him not to tell anybody. I mean, y'all, you know, the irony of that is that if you hadn't been able to talk and you got your tongue loose, you're going to be an auctioneer for a while. You're going to be rattling that stuff off. And I get it, because once again, as he said, his time had not come yet. Just 1 second. Then there was the leper. We talked about him. Luke 8:56, Jairus' daughter. So here's Jairus. And this is a great one, because Jairus, he was kind of like the temple librarian. He was the guy that if there was a piece of mail that had to go from one temple to another one, he was the one that sent it. He was the guy. So every piece of mail that was written about Jesus, because, you know, the Jews were kind of not happy with him, I'll put it that way. Everything that was written about Jesus to go from one synagogue to the other, Jairus had his hands on it. So he knew everything that was said about Jesus. He knew that Jesus was healing the sick, raising the dead, and casting out demons. So what happened? So Jairus' daughter fell ill, and she died. So they're on their way. You know, she's sick, and he went to Jesus because he knew that was the only place he was going to get healing for his daughter. So how did he know about it? Y'all, it was the testimony of people that didn't like Jesus.
Yes.
It was the testimony of people that hated Jesus. They were writing all about Jesus, about he's healing the sick, he's raising the dead, he's drawing a crowd that we can't get. And so through the testimony of people that hated Jesus, Jairus had faith. So Jairus goes to Jesus and says, my daughter's sick and you're my only hope. That's basically what he said.
Yes.
So what happened? So Jesus said, well, let's go fix that problem. So they're on their way. By now, Jesus' fame has gone all over. He's in a swarm of people. And who touches his garment? The lady with the issue of blood, right? She's had this issue of blood for 12 years. Says that she had spent all her money at every doctor she'd get her hands on, it just kept getting worse. Yet she touched the hem of his garment. Let me tell y'all something. He is with the guy that can have her put to death. He is walking with the guy to go to the guy's house that could have her put to death for even being outside in public with that problem. But her faith, where did she get her faith, y'all? I said it Monday night. We've got the benefit of this. We've got it written down where all these things happen. They didn't have that. Everything that happened that made them move was word of mouth. Everything. So all she knew about Jesus is what she had heard about him. That's all she knew. All that Jairus knew was what somebody said in a letter they were writing to somebody else about having Jesus killed. That's all they knew. It was all local. It was all local hearsay. That's all it was. But that's where they got their faith. So she touches the hem of the garment. She's healed. So what happens after that? So the guy comes to Jairus and said, don't bother the master. Your daughter has died. And what did Jesus say to him? He said, don't believe. He said, fear not, believe only. Believe only. So now, what does that mean? So the testimony of Jairus' faith was, if you'll come to my house, you can heal my daughter. That was the testimony of his faith. What did Jesus tell him? Fear not, believe only. Why did he tell him that? Because if he had testified otherwise, if out of his mouth, if he had said, no need for you to come, Jesus, then Jesus couldn't have helped her. Probably wouldn't have, because he would have uninvited him. So what did he tell him to do? Don't you let anything come out of your mouth that's going to block your faith.
Amen.
Don't say it. Don't say it. That's what he told him. We're guilty, y'all. We're guilty of it. Yeah. We have prayed for something. We have claimed it. And then we walk outside and the tire's flat. And then we say something negative. And then we say something like, no matter what I do,
yeah.
No matter what I do, it's always against me. I hear people say it all the time. They claim to be Christians. No matter what I do, it doesn't get any better. No matter what I do. Who are you? Where's your faith? Where's your testimony? So are you just saying your testimony when you go to church? Because you think that the pastor will think you're a more pious person, that you're more righteous than others? So you don't say it to yourself when you're at home? You know, I love being around folks. I love being around y'all. I thrive on it. I do. It's important to me. But golly, I love my alone time too. Because in your alone time, you can say all kinds of things about you out loud that if you said them in public, they would lock you up. Could you imagine walking through the mall out loud? I'm the righteousness of God through the blood of Christ. I'm the temple of God. The Holy Spirit dwells in me. Can you imagine? It wouldn't be long before they'd have people surrounding you in white coats and straitjackets trying to lock you up because they wouldn't want to hear it. But what did Jesus do with Jairus? He said, fear not, believe only. Fear not, believe only. Golly, if we could just take that medicine ourselves, fear not, believe only. Because I'm telling you, there are days, I'm a sales guy, there are days that you think that nothing's going to come through. But what do? You just keep going, you keep going, you keep going, the next one and the next one. It doesn't matter. They're not talking ugly about me. They're talking ugly about what I do. Whatever. So I've got a lady that I've been training up in North Alabama. And she called me the other day to let me know how what we do doesn't work. And I just listened to her. And she gave me 30 minutes of it. And I said, okay, I said, I brought you on in November. I said, in your book of people you've talked to, how many people have you talked to? 18. Since November. I talked to that many by lunch. So it's not going to work. If you're determined it's not going to work, it's not going to work. It's just not. You know, it's like Pastor says, if... As a farmer, you gotta do the best you can to look at the almanac and believe, because if you plant too deep, the seeds won't come up. If you plant too shallow, they'll come up quick and they'll burn away. If it rains too much, if it don't rain enough, if it comes a frost, if it don't come, you know, it's rolling the dice. And I said it the other day, and I mean it. We're blessed to have a pastor that was a farmer. Because most of the principles we find in the Bible are agriculturally based. And so he's got an insight that we don't have. Our testimony is our insight to a piece of the world that other people don't have. We know things that other people don't know because we lived them in a different way than they did. And we lived through them and we were successful. And we grew. And we continue to grow. Do y'all know people that are stagnant? I mean, seriously. Hearing Melissa's story about the person she was hoping to be able to replace, that person's focus wasn't on being the best at what she could be. She had too many irons in the fire. I've been there. You become all things to all people, and not in a good way, not the way Paul did. Not the way Paul said, I'm a Roman and I'm a Jew. I've been abased and I've been abound. It's not like that. You do things to build your resume. And resume builders tend to fail because they can't focus. They don't understand it. So in our lives, we're not resume builders. We're trying to live our life to the fullest because that's what we were told we had, that Jesus came that we could have life and have it more abundantly. I did like something I heard the other day from John Osteen. I was watching one of his tapes, and he said that... Satan is going around like a lion. He's a counterfeit. It's a pretend lion, like a lion, not as a lion, not a lion, is like one. He's a counterfeit. But he said he's got no teeth. So the best he can do is gum you to death. But you'd have to let him do it. And I believe that. And our testimonies will do that to us. Our testimonies will take away the glory that God's placed on us. It'll put us in a place where you'll start believing it. I know people that are single, they live by themselves. They're so negative because all they talk about is they watch TV and they believe that stuff. You know, the economy's bad, gas is high. I said it this morning after prayer. The same God that paid for my gas when it was $1.89 a gallon is paying for it now at $3.29 a gallon. I don't care. It'll be there. We're gonna have fine. It's gonna be plenty. We're gonna have enough. We're going to have more than enough, right? And that's got to be our testimony. So I'm almost finished, y'all, I promise. I could do this all day, though. This is my gig. Mark 16. Okay, so in Mark 16, 15 through 16, y'all know where I'm going with this. And so he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Y'all, we can preach the gospel to people that want to hear what we have to say. But they're not going to want to hear what we have to say as if the life we live is not the testimony we give. They're not going to hear it. They don't want to know. They don't care. And they're also not going to listen to us if we don't listen to their testimony. And their testimonies generally are going to be bad. You know, that's hard to say, because a testimony is a testimony. Good or bad, it's a testimony. Whatever you say about yourself is your testimony. So if you say you're a bad person, that's your testimony. That's what you believe. You're only going to say what you believe about yourself, and nothing more than that. So if we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel, then folks have to listen to us first. And the only way they're going to listen to us is from the testimony that we give. You know, we got to listen to them. We got to listen to them to know how to get in. So today I listened to somebody, and it may be Joey's testimony I give about financial increase. It may be Melissa's testimony I give about the bird. It may be Annette's testimony about her one foot's killing her and she prayed and it moved to the other foot. Wasn't exactly what she wanted, but she got rid of it. You know, whose testimony is it going to be? But we need to listen and hear, not just for us. I get angry with, there's a lot of churches out there that are all about in-reach. They do nothing outside the doors of their church. Nothing. It's all about maintaining what they have. I told Pastor, the thing I love about our church is I've never been in a church before in my life where everybody in the church was 100% sold out. Ever. And this is such a blessing, y'all. And when you've got a group like this, and we all have a testimony, it could be Susan's testimony or Rebecca's, it could be Lisa's or Joey's or Pam's or whoever. We all have a testimony, y'all. And we need to know what each other's testimony is, because the person I meet this afternoon may need to hear Garland's testimony, you know? So I need to be aware of what y'all have all been through. I need to listen when y'all give a testimony. And sometimes they're fun testimonies. We can laugh and giggle about them. But I got to tell you, I do like the bird. He must have been a Christian, because he shared it with everybody. But I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. But anyway, years ago, I'd come back from Dominican Republic. I'd been on a 10-day mission trip out in the jungle. And when I got back, all of a sudden, I had all these churches calling, wanting me to come talk to them about how to start missions in their church. And I kept telling them, walk out that door. There's plenty to do here. There's plenty to do. I went on, you know, the international mission. I've been on a few of them. But there's way more here to do than we can ever get through with. Yeah. And so for us to walk out, you go in the mission field, you go out to another country. I respect Parker and Emily for what they're doing. I do. It takes a special kind of person to go do all that. It does. Yes. It really does. But I like working where I am. I like the fact I can go to the grocery store or the next prospect's office I walk into, or sitting at a traffic light. I got to share this one with you real quick. So I'm over in West End about 3 weeks ago. I cut through off from 9th Street to get over onto 15th over there by Stillman. And I'm sitting at a traffic light right next to a guy. And he had this old beat up truck, but he had somebody do some vinyl lettering for him. And on the side of the truck, he said, it said, Jesus is the Lord of my life. And I rolled down the window and I got his attention and I said, well, if I don't see you again, I'll see you when we get there. And man, it just made his day. Because so here he is. He wasn't much of a talker. I saw him again a day or so later, and we were talking. He said, you know, I'm really not much of a talker, but that's what I can do. He said, I can put that on my truck. I respect that. Not everybody is a loudmouth like I am. Not everybody is boisterous and willing to talk to everybody they run into. I get that. But there are those people at the grocery store and in our workplace, at school or at work, or for the Barry and Melissa, it's at school and work. But yeah, everywhere we go, there's somebody that may need to hear what we have to say. I admire Susan when she goes over to the cancer center. She's like a walking billboard to them. And so they run in fear that she's going to talk to them. But she didn't hear that. But anyway, so we got to take our testimony out of here. So what are we going to do? Wherever we go, that's where we give our testimony. We don't have to go look for a place. We don't have to just walk out the door and say, today I have to go hit this group or that area. It's just everywhere we go. Because I got to tell you, I told Pastor, and this is very true. If you get up every morning and you ask the Lord to put somebody in your path, be ready. You're going to get one or three or 10. It's just, I'm telling you, there's some days you do that and you won't be able to do your normal work that day for all the people you're going to be dealing with. I drove over to Columbus a few weeks ago to do some prospecting. And that morning, of course, I prayed, give me somebody to talk to. I did not talk to one person that day about work. Not one. Everywhere I went, they were all having these issues, these bad issues. They were distraught. It just became a Jesus day. And I'm like, okay, good for me. You just put all the paperwork aside, just talk, and just love on them. That's what we do. But anyway, y'all get to get out early today. So let's pray. Father, we're grateful for this day. We're grateful that you give us the opportunity to share everything you've done for us that has made us strong and made us stronger every day. We thank you that you give us a voice, that we're willing to share the gospel, to lay hands on people, to bring healing to their bodies, to bring healing to their spirit or to their soul where they just are scared, they're worried, they're afraid, they don't understand, they think that you've been bad to them, and they just need to hear a word that you're not that way, that you're the God of mercy and the God of grace, and you're the God of abundance and the God of healing. So Father, make us bold today, bold enough just to tell our story, that when we walk out these doors, that the next person we see is somebody that's just waiting to hear a word from you. And we give you all the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.